Hi, you are tuning in to Awani Review with me, Cynthia Ng. On this show, I speak with entrepreneurs, startups, and corporate leaders on their strategies. Now, on the show today is a fairly new startup called Home. Now, Home is a real estate platform that offers co-living space. And Felix Ferdinand, the co-founder and CEO, is joining me on the show today. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Cynthia.
Now, first of all, congratulations on the launch of your first unit, which is at Sky Suites KLCC.
Right.
Quite an interesting time to be launching a co-working space in light of the pandemic, whereby we are seeing unemployment is at a high and people are generally spending less. So why do you think this is the right time to launch a co-living space?
Right. I mean, before I begin, let me just slightly introduce ourselves. So Home is a real estate platform. We offer co-living spaces. And when, you know, many months ago when Brian and I, my co-founder, Brian and I, when we first started the company, it was ultimately to solve a problem. And it's a problem that really deeply rooted in our heart. And the problem is really, number one, the prices of the properties are becoming unaffordable,
mm-hmm.
Especially around, you know, people around our age, millennials people. And not just in Kuala Lumpur, but again, main cities. We talk about Southeast Asia, we have like Jakarta, Bangkok. And so the mission of the company has always been and will be to empower our community through accessibility over home ownership.
Okay.
And because of COVID, people realize that like, hey, I no longer want to commit with long-term commitments, such as like mortgage,
right.
No more long leases, no more inflexible tenancy. So actually people opt for co-living more than ever, especially when besides spaces that we offer, we actually do have like community as well.
Right.
So yeah, so I think right now is the best time ever.
What are the metrics that you're seeing that you think will support co-living, the growth of co-living space,
right,
even during an economic downturn?
Right. If you look into the mission that we have is to provide accessibility over home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
So in that literal sense, unlike many other industries who could probably negatively impacted by COVID, or downturn of economies, but for us is that we aim to thrive. And in fact, we thrive more than ever because accommodation, especially as we speak, people are looking for places to stay, people are looking for places to rent, and we fit in right in the industry, in that segment, and these are the people that we want to serve.
So apart from the accessibility, flexibility,
right,
shorter lease,
sure,
and having everything provided for, essentially like, you know, Wi-Fi, your cleaning services, one of the perks of of a co-living space or sharing a space with someone is the sense of community, right?
Right.
But living with a group of strangers might seem a bit counterintuitive right now in the climate of social distancing. What are your thoughts on that?
Right, Cynthia, so if you look into our space, we have a space as small as 600 square feet,
mm-hmm,
to as large as about 2,000 square feet, right? We are, you know, we have ranges of like one bedroom apartment to as huge as three bedrooms or even four bedrooms apartments. So again, when we put people together, it's be it of 2%, 3%, even 4 or 5% together, living together. And you know, from what we have observed, from what we understand, understood from our members is that, you know, we human, it's a social creature, right? They want to come together. They want to eat together,
mm-hmm,
right? They want to like spend time together. So when being part of this co-living, being part of this community, it allows them not just be themselves, but again, how do they feel being taken care of, right? If you look into people who lost their job, mm-hmm, who potentially has difficulties in their, you know, like workspace and all that, I think we are just in the right time. And again, of course, at home we do adhere and you know, we follow the strict SOPs, which is being regulated,
mm-hmm,
and we follow all the government's regulations as well. So I think as much as people are distancing away,
mm-hmm,
they sort of intuitively, right, wanted to be together. And I mean, as we can tell, you know, right after, like as right now during RMCO, you know, people come and dine together. life sort of getting
back to normal.
Back to normal, yeah.
Okay.
So that's how it is.
So you see this downturn is probably just a temporary blip for the sector?
Well, to be honest with you, right, with the current supply that we have, we are very pleasantly surprised. In fact, we had influx of application of members nationwide as of
today. Tell us about that take-up rate.
Right, so right now we do have close to full occupancy as the number of supply is concerned. And in fact, we do have more demand than the supply that we can provide at this moment.
How many beds do
so
you provide?
So we actually go by phase. As of today, we have about 100 beds. Mm-hmm. We are looking to achieve about, we are aiming to open up about roughly 600 to 700 beds by end of the year.
Okay, I'd like to go more into the expansion plans later.
Right.
I just want to touch a bit on the affordability aspect, right?
Right.
So in cities like, say, Hong Kong or Singapore, where housing is very expensive, co-living has become quite a popular demand, popular option, right? But in Kuala Lumpur, for instance, we have influx of spaces,
right?
Be it office space or residential. Plus, it is also more affordable. So why choose co-living over other rental housing options?
Right, so you mentioned more affordable, mm-hmm. right? But it's not affordable to many of them. Let me give you a perspective or a certain angle to look at it, right? So we are starting in Singapore, sorry, we are starting in Kuala Lumpur, but we are soon gonna expand to main cities of Southeast Asia, especially Jakarta. We're gonna go super heavy in Jakarta and then Bangkok. Right, but if you were to compare with Singapore, Hong Kong per se, right, if you look into Southeast Asia as a whole, is that we are the fastest growing region in the world. And you know, we have foreign direct investments pouring into this region more than ever. And it kind of pushes our GDP growth on a yearly basis. And this sort of creates disparity between wealth distribution, mm-hmm. right? And according to Khazanah Research Institute, in Malaysia alone, we have 32,810 overhang properties. And they are, you know, they are ranging of, I think, close to 18 to 21 billion worth of overhang properties. And 42 or 43% of them are made of high rises, high rise like condominiums, service apartments, and all that. But yet, when we look into all this overhang, is that it's not influx of supply, but it's really about whether can people actually afford it, mm-hmm. right? And of course, in Malaysia, you look into general population, we have like 32 million people, half of them are millennials. And beyond that, you know, if I would like to add on is that if you look into the growth over the last 15 to 18 years, we do have CAGR, or they call it compound annual growth rate, or housing index per se, at about 8 to 10% every single year. And for the last 15 to 18 years, it has grown more than 350% of growth. And these numbers are scary to begin with. And it's just given all these points, it's just given due time that the property prices will climb back up again and will continue to rise, and hence, is going to cause unaffordability in the market.
Tell us about the demand. Where are you seeing it? Like, who are these people who have signed up to home?
Right. So again, at home, right, we call it home really because number one is that how do we serve our communities? And when I say communities, it's communities at large, right? We do have operators who sort of serve expatriates or international markets per se, but at home is that how do we localize? How do we personalize in terms of we curate our space, in terms of how do we serve our members? And we know our venues very well. We know our demographics very well. So, you know, we do serve local domestic markets as well. So we see high influx of demand there, as well as the one that wishes more on a another segment, which is working professionals or expatriates in this case.
Okay. Right. And with the downturn, there are less expatriates coming into Malaysia. Has that affected your business?
Actually, truth be told, looking at the supply that we have, we do have demand exceeding that sort of supplies that we currently have. And that is again due to domestic's market that we're currently serving. So we try to localize as much as we can, try to meet their price point in that manner. And again, you know, if you look into rental, it's a daily, accommodation is a daily necessity out of, I mean, in life, right?
Tell us about Home's business model. Do you own and develop the real estate, or do you work with developers and you just manage the properties?
Right. That's a very good question. In fact, when we first started Home, we knew that Home has to be and will be and must be an asset-light model. So that has been since day one. And so we, you know, we do have a very unique approach in terms of partnerships and collaborations, be it with local developers or individual landlords per se, right? How do we partner with them? How do we sort of collaborate with them without having to go heavy on CapEx or without having to actually sign a very long lease? So there's as much as I can share, but of course, you know, we work with the local developers to actually, we call it sandwich deals, right? How do we actually partner and serve the market well?
So you don't actually own the real estate space?
No, we don't. You do.
All right. So you help developers revamp, reutilize the space?
Right. So we call it value creation.
Okay.
How do you build or how do you gain, how do you, in that sense, how do you recreate value for these developers?
Right.
We look into overhang properties. We look into unutilized commercial properties. We look into residential properties who sort of like need some sort of branding per se. So we go into that, redesign, curate, repurpose the space, and then we open up to our members.
Well, this is actually quite in line with this report by Knight Frank recently.
Right.
It's called the Real Estate Sentiment Report, whereby Knight Frank believes that there will be growing interest in co-living space once the pandemic subsides. And in fact, over half of the developers that they surveyed that they say they are interested to get into a co-living space, given the oversupply of office spaces in Malaysia, some are actually looking to convert those into a co-living space. What are your thoughts about that kind of development? I mean, would that be overcrowding this space, that co-living space in Malaysia?
Well, Cynthia, I'm very actually pleasantly surprised when, in fact, Knight Frank came to us as well. So we are actually in talks of potential partnerships and collaborations, not just with Knight Frank, but in fact, we are also talking to JLL, Johns Lang Lazelle, right? So the thing is that how do we work with them, and through them, we actually connect with the local developers and we partner with them. Because at the end of the day, it's not about co-living from a hardware perspective, which means buildings, facilities, but it's really the heart and the soul. How do you actually manage them? How do you operate them? Right? How do you build the community? How do you serve these people? So I think that's what matters. And I think Home has such an advantage to actually accommodate to those accommodate to their needs and demands.
I like to get onto that heart and soul aspect, right? So
right.
Curation is very important,
right?
Because apart from having the space, people want comfort, they want reliability, and more importantly is safety, right? So tell us about the concept of Home and how are you guys different from the other players in the market?
Well, if you look into, so right now, if you look into market at large, right? So for example, if let's say we look into American company, say we look into the West first, right? If you look into the West, in America, we have a different, totally different group. You know, they are more structured in a way that like they build it, they call it built to rent, right? Built to rent model whereby they build the space and rent it out to their tenants with more large communal spaces. If you go to like some European countries, they have like, they call it student dorm 2.0, right? Whereby it's multi units, different layout sort of thing. But again, if you look into Southeast Asia, we are very different in the sense that we are very localized. Our space is very localized. Again, look into the venues that we have and demographics that we have. And all these localizations actually help us not just thrive, but accelerate the growth in the sense that we meet the demand of the market. So in terms of the difference between us and, you know, a few of our competitors out there is that we are here not just providing the space, but how do we localize them? How do we personalize the space? So it's not just a co-living per se that most of our competitors do.
Now, I'd like to talk a bit about the viability and sustainability of the co-living business model.
Right.
Because the business of co-living and co-working isn't it's not that different, really. And we have seen that the co-working space model, for instance, if you can take WeWork, they have been around for a decade, right? But but in terms of viability, it hasn't been able to show as much. In fact, WeWork's co-living unit is in question right now after being set up for 4 years. Right. So what are your thoughts about the sustainability of this business model, particularly is it is quite an high cost and high churn as well in this space?
Right. So if you look at home, how we are pretty much very different from, you know, even like the one that you mentioned, WeWork. In fact, we actually have learned so much from the rise and perhaps the fall of WeWork. But really from since day one, the concept of home, the business model especially, we has always been asset light. So that's our number one priority. And number two is that how can we have a shared capex with our partners, be it individual landlords or even developers. So it doesn't tie up a lot of heavyweight in terms of our capex. But in fact, none of our funds are being used to actually support or being used for heavy capex, or even like long-term leases as well. But it's really about how do we serve our members and scale it in a very sustainable growth manner. So I would say the difference is that at our current size, we are very fortunate, and we have learned so much from fiasco like WeWork to actually know and learn that, like, look, how do we make this asset light, and how do we scale this in a very sustainable growth manner, and how do we wisely utilize our funds to serve our members, to open new markets, and to accelerate in a very sustainable manner.
So help us understand about the benefits that say a property developer comes to you and say, like, hey, can you work on my space and make it enticing for young professionals? They can easily just do it on their own, right? So why work with somebody like you?
Well, I mentioned about, like, if you look into hardware perspective, just providing facilities, right? Many of them will have jumped to the ship and say, hey, look, I can do the same, right? But for us is that we know our customers very well. We know our members very well. You know, most of them, or if I may, all of them are in fact mostly around our age and all that. So it's really about understanding your people, your members. How do you curate, how do you sort of allowing them to embrace what home has to offer in terms of community? How do you make them feel loved, being taken care for? And I think that's what home is all about. And because of that, it sort of drive home's brand forward. So it's not just about hardware, but again, who drive that buildings? Who drive that community? Who serve these people? And at home, we prioritize that. And our members' experience is very important to us. So we want to serve them and we want to make them happy.
So you've just recently launched your first unit, which is Sky Suites KLCC. Right. And I understand next will be Bangsar South, and after that, Bonkiara, correct?
Yes.
And what about other parts of Kuala Lumpur, where you look, or maybe even Malaysia? Are you seeing expansion into other states?
Right, that's a very good question, to be honest. Right now, we are looking into tier one locations. So we are looking into, when we pick our venues, it has to be commercial viable. So we look into job opportunities.
Right.
And number two is that we look into feasibility or viability of public transportation. Right, so none of our buildings are in area or a place like without, you know, this sort of two key indicators, if I may, right? So those are the things that we look at. But of course, we are expanding beyond those tier one locations. In fact, as we speak, we are already looking into tier two locations. We look into like Damansara, Petaling Jaya, as well as Sunway. So those are the locations that we plan to go in as well. So as I've shared before, we have been talking to Knight Frank. So potentially there could be expansion down in Penang as well. There are several buildings that we are currently looking at, but we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
So let's talk about some of your other expansion plans
right.
outside of Malaysia, right? And I understand that you guys are interested to go into Thailand and Indonesia.
Right.
So why that? Would you say that would it be less risky to say, concentrate in Malaysia first before taking on another country?
Well, if you look into Malaysia, we are very fortunate, really. During our launch, we are very grateful to have YB Minister Wan Junaidi to actually endorse us. So it's really, again, through the local sort of endorsement from the ministry, the agencies, right, the government agencies or even regulators, right? And through this endorsement, through this acknowledgement, through this support, we use this sort of support to reach out to a lot of main local developers here in Malaysia. And because of that, Malaysia is some sort of like on a very organic growth kind of pace. So we look beyond Malaysia because entirely if you look into the whole market, Southeast Asia, it's a big region, right? We are double the size of America, right? We are 50% less than China. So we look into such a huge market and housing has not just been an issue just here in Malaysia, but again, across Southeast Asia. So the reason why we want to go to Jakarta, again, we look into solving their local problems. Mm-hmm. If you look into rental per se, right, they can't rent month per month. So what they do is that they have to pay a hefty rental for the next 1 year if they would like to secure a space, right? And it's so crowded, so high traffic. How can we make city living better, closer to where they work, reducing the time of commute, at the same time also the footprint of maybe carbon dioxide and all that. But altogether, how do we serve them, make them feel, easier access to jobs, access to, or even commercials and things like that. So yes, we do go into Jakarta early next year. And Bangkok right now, as we speak, we are already talking to a couple of few local strategic partners right there. Mm-hmm. Right.
So what is that business model? What is the strategy to go into a new market? Particularly, Jakarta, there's quite a number of co-living spaces operating at the moment offering customization, localization, right? So how would you strategize?
So Home is very fortunate, right? When we get endorsed by the government. So it's the same thing we're going to do in Jakarta. How can we first approach them in a manner that like, hey, what's the problem that you guys have? How can we fit in here? How can we sort of serve these people? So not just with the local regulators or governments per se, but how do we work with the local operators right there, right now, and help them to scale, help them to operate, help them to sort of grow the market? So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's really a huge market. How do we fit in? And from there, how do we, from an underdog, and hopefully one day, be quite a size in Jakarta. So the same approach in Jakarta, it's going to be the same in Bangkok as well, in Thailand. So I think the keyword is localization.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be very business friendly, right? You have to be very empathetic about what is the problems that these people are having that we have the passion to solve. And I think that that's the main advantage that we have in terms of scalability, in terms of understanding our market.
The long-term prospects for co-living is there, but it won't actually be realized until the pandemic is over, the downturn is over.
Right.
So just one final question about, how can co-living operators adapt quickly to this new environment?
Well, again, we are not too sure whether how long this is going to be, the whole pandemic thing, but we knew for sure that housing problem, affordability problem, accessibility problem, these problems are not seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
It has plagued the region for the last couple of years. So these problems are here. And we are here to solve it. And we are here to solve it. And basically, we are here for the very long term. So despite of all the pandemic, it's really about how quick we adapt, how agile when it comes to flexibility in terms of deals that we are looking at. Yes, there might be a bit of challenges here and there, as many of the other startups or businesses are currently facing. Same goes to us, but it's really about how do we be steadfast and in sort of conquering the market.
Right.
In this sense.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and spending time with us. And I wish you all the best with your expansion plans.
Yep.
Thanks for it.
Thank you so much, Cynthia.
Well, you have been watching A One in Review with me, Cynthia. Until the next episode, we'll see you again soon.